Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Three more sleeps. That's all it is. Three more sleeps. And then you get to watch NFC Championship football, the Commanders and the Eagles. Welcome in Grant and Danny on the Fan, January 23rd, 2025. As we get ready to turn the calendar over to February, the locals are still playing football.
You know, we talked about this yesterday for a minute. The has it sunk in yet thing. I'm aware of the information. Like, I get it. Everything you said is correct. There's no fact check going on here. But every once in a while, I'll have these kind of, you know, it leaves my mind because I'm doing something else, making lunch for my kids, walking them to school, or, you know, answering an email or setting up an appointment or doing this, that, and the other thing. And then it jumps right back in. Oh, that's right. There's a game Sunday that matters. Usually this part of the offseason is free and clear. Maybe talking about a coaching change or talking about, you know, the start of free agency coming up and we're looking at draft boards. I've not looked at a single draft board as yet because I don't care about the draft at this time. There's a meaningful football game, the most meaningful game in decades, and we're in it. Washington is going to play their arch rival here for a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
We got a great show planned for you today. Ted Wynn, who watches film and writes about it for The Athletic nationally, going to preview the matchup with the Eagles for us. Former Redskins legend Charles Mann will be on the show at 5 o'clock. Remember, it was about 4 years ago we talked to him.
That's right.
And he was pretty disenfranchised with the organization. Was at odds, I believe, with ownership and the way that they treated former players. That's all changed. We'll talk to Charles Mann about that coming up at 5 today. And Bill Barnwell of ESPN, one of the great NFL writers in the country, will stop by to give us his thoughts on Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and what Washington's been able to do offensively this year. We do have Caps tickets. As always, we'll give those out at 4 o'clock. And just as a quick reminder, this is our final show of the week from our studios here on Half Street in the Navy Yard. Tomorrow, we're going to be in Bethesda. We will be out and about at Caddy's on Cordell for a pep rally ahead of the NFC Championship game, broadcasting live with you guys from 2 to 6:30 tomorrow. Should be a ton of fun.
Iconic spot there in the heart of Bethesda. It's fitting that that the show will be there before the biggest game in decades. I like that a lot.
So come on out and hang out with us starting at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Before we get to some of the storylines with the Commanders and the Eagles, Danny, I want you to know how seriously I am taking this NFC Championship game berth. After being unable to go to Detroit last week with the flu, after being down and out all weekend, watching the game as intently as I could, but battling an illness.
I mean, you were fighting it, dude.
Today, I went and got myself an IV at the St. James. I did one of these things where I had them add a bunch of stuff to it.
Yeah. Like this is your B12s and
exactly. It's like what you would get if you're on a bachelor party and you're hungover or something. But I went in, I got this treatment, And I basically said, whatever you can put in there to try to keep me from getting more sick in the short-term future, pump it in there. And so I sat there for about 45 minutes. Now, my cough didn't go away.
No, they couldn't do anything.
I didn't anticipate that. I wanted them to shoot some Robitussin in there, too. They didn't really do that. But
let the Tussin get up in there.
I do have a little bit more energy, I will say, as I sit here.
It's fantastic. I if I could do that all the time without puncturing my skin, I would do it. It's the puncturing I don't love, but it's so silly.
You almost need to be a nurse, because I will say it was an expensive treatment.
Yeah. The best thing, the best I've felt in a long time before or since. So I'd broken my ribs, if you remember this, and I had a lung puncture, which was not awesome. That part didn't feel good. But once I'm in the hospital.
I remember that because you would struggle a little bit against the Eagles and the Steelers with your accuracy.
Thank you. But it was a rib. But was it broken? Was it cartilage? Do I need a warm-up jacket in between? But we're fine. I'm not on the injury report. I don't know. One of the dude's stories, I broke my ribs. And a pneumothorax. I'll never forget that word, which means your broken rib punctured your lung. Not fun.
There's
that
probably
sucked.
A P at the beginning of that.
Yeah. Pneumothorax.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there in the hospital, miserable. Everything hurts. And then painkiller stuff, whatever. But it was once they pumped you full of that, it's like the saline water and the, you know, the refresher stuff. And I'm sitting there going, I feel good. Like, I haven't felt good since my 20s. And I felt good. You know what I mean? Not like a high, but it was like, I can do this. No task is too big for me. I'll get out of bed and you'll see. I'll take on the world. I felt good.
Yeah, it was just getting me to a number that feels reasonable. That was kind of my goal.
Yeah.
It was my wife's idea.
It's a great idea by your wife. I've noticed that wives have good ideas from time to time.
From time to time, they do.
Yep.
And I give credit where it's due.
Tip of the cap there.
It was a good thing, but I'm doing everything I can. I'm pulling the rope. I'm doing my part.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be in Philly.
It's all you can do.
With bells on. About as healthy as you can get.
So all we ask is that everyone does everything they can.
Just pump yourself with IV liquids. That's kind of the suggestion.
Smart.
At this point. All right, but before we get to the NFC title game, the second of the two games, we have not talked about it at all on this show, which normally we'd have broken this thing down 100 different ways, but when the Commanders are playing, obviously that takes the cake for us. Bills Chiefs, man. This is the one versus the two in the AFC. This is the matchup. Respectfully to the Ravens, that everybody wanted to see. If you remember, back in 2022, 3 years ago, after the 21 season, we had this exact AFC Championship game, and it was unbelievable. That was the back and forth where the Bills had the lead. Looks like they had beaten the Chiefs, and then with 13 seconds left, they were just lapsed defensively. Kelce made a couple of catches and runs in the middle of the field with Tyreek Hill as well. And then they got the field goal off and went to overtime. Mahomes got the ball in overtime. Allen never did. The Chiefs go down the field and win, and they've subsequently changed the playoff overtime rules, as we saw in the Super Bowl last year, where both teams get the ball. We finally get the rematch of that. That was one of the best playoff games I've ever watched. I remember sitting in my basement in the house I own now. It was early on after buying our place when we first moved in. And I remember I'd actually bet a bunch on overs in that game. So I had like parlays where I needed Tyreek Hill to go off and Kelce to go off.
Did the 78 points combined do it?
Exactly. And so the end of that game, I went from not one thing was going to hit, Danny, to in the span of like 40 real life seconds when they went down the field and then kicked the field goal and then they were going to overtime, everything was going to hit. And I was going to make several hundred dollars. And I started running around my basement screaming at the top of my lungs. I got so lightheaded that I was about to pass out, and I dropped down on all fours in my basement with like stars spinning, and my wife just looked at me with shame, like, why did I marry this idiot?
What slovenly oath did I wed?
And I just was like, I'm going to pass out. And she's like, this is so embarrassing. Like, get it together, loser. True story. I have never been so excited in my adult life.
And that's as good as it got for you.
That game, Bills Chiefs.
Now, did that game, I could be conflating multiple memories here. Did the results of that game, and then we came in and did the radio program either the next day or the day after, did that give us the no rant from you about quarterback?
So somebody suggested that. I can't confirm that.
Because we're watching.
I think it was Guilo said this week that it was that Bills Chiefs game that led to the give me my quarterback now screaming.
Because you're sitting there watching the game and quarterbacking at its absolute pinnacle. at the maximum level that it has ever been played. That 42-36 masterpiece. It's like two perfect orchestras being choreographed by two perfect maestros playing in unison. And it was glorious. It was visual perfection.
And it came on the heels of me having to listen to people every single week tell me why Taylor Heinicke was the answer. And I had to sit there and watch Taylor Heinicke, who looks like he's not even the same species as Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, play quarterback badly. And then on top of that, have people call in and waste my time to tell me that he could be the answer.
If they could build around him, they would still be bad.
And then I watched that game between the Bills and the Chiefs. I think it was the next day.
I think that's it. I
still haven't got my voice back, by the way.
Seriously.
From that day.
That was the day you completely have lost your voice ever since. This is the clip of you yelling now here.
Now!
And yeah. It was clipped on 1/24/22. So that checks out, I think.
Yeah, January 23rd is the game.
3 years ago tomorrow.
Yeah. 3 years ago tomorrow.
There it is.
Right?
That's so funny. What a great...
Now!
By the way, the recall from Guilo to remember that. And let us know that on Twitter. It's pretty amazing.
That baby guy will tip the cap. But, and that's the point here, is it's part of the discussion. I know we're talking about this other game, but bringing it back to us for a second.
How funny 3 years later.
This is my point.
They have him.
Yeah.
They have Allen and Mahomes, maybe.
Turning point. Grant yells now. The wheels start to go in motion. Because 22 is the year you start to get breaks in the Snyder thing, and there are chinks in the armor, and then all of a sudden there's a couple places for invading armies to go in. I'm not saying you caused the whole thing. I'm also not saying it.
No, because what happened after that was that they traded for Carson Wentz. So yeah, I don't think you just get to give me the credit for...
That's how the dominoes begin to fall.
Okay.
Snyder doesn't own the team anymore.
They started to make an attempt.
This original group is screwing up still, right? They're all so long gone, hoping to get back in, and they never will, and they never should.
Is there any chance that it was in that moment that Josh Harris calls Mitch Rails up and says... Hey, I love this show, Grant and Danny, and this guy seems upset. What if we bought the team from Dan?
Yeah, I was in Philadelphia talking about getting a new stadium for the basketball team, and everyone's mad about. What if we just bought the team and got a good quarterback, like the radio guy said?
Speaking of which, I was thinking about this, Josh. Think about how loved he is in D.C.
Pretty beloved.
And I would assume right now he is not that in Philly. The Sixers are an abomination, right?
Like, yeah, they're disappointing.
Disappointing. Aren't they the worst team in the sport? I mean, they're other than the Wizards.
Yeah, I was going to say down the street
I should say.
Yeah.
I don't count them as an NBA team. Sorry. They're purposefully trying to lose 80 games.
Yeah. Philly's disappointing in a big way. They're 12 under, I think. 13 under, 500, something like that.
They're really bad.
Yeah.
And Joel Embiid's dead.
He plays once a month.
Right. But now he's like dead. Like from a basketball standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
They just said he has a knee thing and you're never
another knee
see
thing
him
and a foot thing.
Yeah. And they were going to have this was the Ted Leonsis thing. The arena, and everyone's excited, and we're clapping like seals. But it wasn't like they didn't get the arena because some lady memed about it and wanted toll relief 4 hours away. They just decided they're not going to build the arena there now. Basically, it was like if Leonsis kind of was like, I don't know all the details. I didn't follow this for 1 second.
Right.
But the gist was, actually, never mind. We got a deal. We're good here.
Nah.
So there is, they don't love him as much as we love him. And what I'm trying to tell you is, good will take him.
Yeah. He's our guy.
Well, and you think, by the way, he's going to be in Philly with all those fans wearing his Commanders gear this weekend. He's our sweet prince.
Yeah. Catching some booze.
Good.
Fine. Yeah, good.
I wonder what city he likes more. Probably ours. His home city that he cares more about, stupids. He cares more about D.C. He cares more about the NFL. That's the moneymaker. He doesn't care about your basketball thing in Philly.
Yeah, he's doing nice with the Devils, and it's nice with Philly.
Oh,
and
the
stuff.
Devils. He probably doesn't even remember he owns them.
Oh, that's right. That's part of my portfolio, too.
In fact, I asked him at a press conference this year about owning all the different teams and how he makes it work, and do you use your expertise in that sport, in this sport? And he basically was like, yeah, the Devils thing's just kind of, I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, in basketball, I'm hands-on. The NFL, I'll be the most hands-on. Hockey... it's like you having a fantasy football team.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they win the league, they'll send me some money. I'm doing kind of a bit, but like
I set my lineup and forget it.
Yeah, exactly. He sets his lineup. Who's our third line winger?
I don't know.
It's like when I went on a team with Phil and Alexandria in baseball. I give him $100 at the beginning of the year, and at the end of every now and then he'll text me and say, "Hey GP, who should we call up? Francisco Alvarez or Hunter Harvey?" And I'm like, "Oh, let's do this." And then if we win, send me my money.
Yeah.
That's Josh Harris for the Devils.
That's pretty good.
But you know who he cares about?
Washington?
The Commanders.
Yeah.
Just such an inferiority thing with the owner fight that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that. I kind of love that.
I like that a lot.
Also, there's... I feel like everyone in Philly's name is Joe for some reason.
Okay.
Does that check out to you? Like Joe in Philly?
Yeah. You know, from Delco, Joe. You know Joe.
So I thought we could have you just be Joe in Philly for a second.
Okay. Yeah. So Joe in Philly, what up?
Yeah. And just,
Water. Flavor Oyster.
I didn't know. How do you feel about the matchup? Are you nervous? You split two games with Washington.
Dude, they're trash.
The Eagles passing game.
No. Washington, dude. They're trash. They're terrible, bro.
What about Jalen Hurts, dude? You can't possibly feel good about him.
Yeah, I feel fine about him. You're gonna you know, knock him up with painkillers. He's going to go out there. You're going to kill it, dude. He's going to run for 150, throw for 150. He's going to kill him.
I'm pretty sure, actually, though, Danny.
Barkley's going to go ham.
That Joe in Philly is not that sized with him right now. Like, on Eagles text chats, there's a lot of Jalen Hurts infighting right now. He's just not playing well.
Dude, I don't even know who you're talking to, okay? But I'm supremely confident, okay? I would jump on a Schuylkill River butt naked, dude, if he's not nasty on Sunday. Nasty.
That's actually not that bad.
Delco Joe.
Right.
Delmarva Joe.
Don't you think there are like a disproportionate number of people named Joe, though?
Yes. I think as soon as you said it crystallized, I'm like, yeah, half the region.
For some reason, all my friends from Philly, like their buddy's name is Joe. And none of them are from there, but they just like move there, live there, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, this guy, Joe. It just—I don't think it's all the same guy. It's got to.
Or is it?
That would be amazing.
And that, you ever think about that?
I think the guy that helped us at the bar was named Joe.
He was 100% named Joe, by the way. Very nice man,
but nice guy. That was a great bar.
What was it called again? We're like, what town is this? Like, where are we?
We're on Mantioque.
Yeah,
we're 45 minutes from the stadium.
Brandon Ayuk, Maniac, something like that.
It's like, all right, the game starts at 7:30. You guys get off air at 6:30. There's going to be at least an hour and a half of traffic. Good luck.
Yeah.
And then we keep telling everyone we're going to the game. They're like, not from here. You're not. Yeah. No way.
There ain't no way you get down here from here.
Made it work. I think they're nervous a little bit in Philly. Only because.
Really?
I do. I think they expect to win, to be clear.
Uh-huh.
Obama style. Let me be clear. I'm not dating Jennifer Aniston. Let me be clear. Did you hear about that rumor?
No. I'm sorry, what?
I just saw it on Instagram. I'm like, I don't think that's a real rumor.
I know it's a sports show. What?
Yeah. I don't know, man. You just, weird rumors
that's
are out there.
That's an actual rumor that's out there?
Not by anyone that matters. It's just something that's on the internet, and like dumb people believe it.
That, just to be clear, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That the former president of the United States is dating Jennifer Aniston?
Again, stupid rumor, stupid people. People believe anything. But the point of the dude's story is...
Oh, my God. Sorry. Sorry. Go ahead, please.
No problem. If you don't mind, though...
No, go ahead. You go ahead. Yep.
Keep talking about the football
thing. You go ahead.
Please
do it. Yeah, yeah.
Specific to the football thing, I think that they expect to win the game because they're the better team. But they correctly understand that all of the pressure, all of it, is on the Commanders. That if the Commanders lose... There is no press conference where anybody has to apologize.
You meant the other way. You said pressure's on Washington. You meant pressure's on Eagles.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the pressure's on the Eagles, right. Mm-hmm. That there's no pressure on the Commanders. If the Commanders lose, no one has to say whoops. No one has to say sorry. No one has to say why it happened. Literally, the press conference the next day is going to be taking bows and saying, see, we told you.
Yeah.
We got this thing fine. Whereas if the Eagles lose... They were supposed to have been in the Super Bowl. The only thing standing between you and the big game was a team that shouldn't have beaten you, and you lost 2 out of 3 times to Washington, who almost beat you in your building, would have been 3 for 3. It's a bad look.
Yeah, the pressure's on.
The Commanders are built to win maybe in like 27.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles were built to win the last couple of years.
Yeah, the window's been open, yeah.
Slowly closing.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, but to me, the only thing I've seen now, what does that mean? What I've seen, just anecdotal fan comments here and there, people chirping Instagram posts or Twitter or whatever, just anybody broadcasting from Philly is a supreme confidence. Now, whether that's fake, I don't know. But it seems to me they're not taking this seriously enough. Now, you may have seen something else, but I did a hit on one of these Philly podcasts or something like that this morning. I'm doing a Philly radio show tonight, and I'll get a better sample. But it sounded like this was a, that was nice, kid. You're the fun upstart. And I'm kind of going, don't you guys remember? It wasn't the four straight with one of the greatest coaches ever to live when you went to the NFC title game four straight years. It wasn't 2 years ago when you had an MVP candidate and a great roster that did it. You won it with stupid Nick Foles, who's out of football, who's never been good and wasn't good, but you lived this charmed life for a while.
You went on the ride that Washington's on.
You don't remember that? That's the time you broke through. None of the other times where you bashed your head against the wall and got bupkis. You don't see any parallel? My point, that doesn't mean I'm predicting anything one way or the other, but the idea that you wouldn't take this seriously, that you wouldn't understand the threat, this is no longer a math equation. Normally it is when I look at matchups and look at a team. I go, well, that one's better than this one. Well, and that's who I'll pick. This is no longer about tangibles. Larry Michael to be avenged.
Yeah, this is skin tangibles.
This is skin tangibles all day.
So to me, it's even more simple than that. You should fear this game because of Daniels playing the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
He is playing right now like the best remaining player in the playoffs, period. He is the hottest quarterback. He's the hottest player. He's the best player in the league right now at this moment, the way he's been playing. And if you're going up against a team with that guy at quarterback, generally you're not favored to win. They happen to be, because there's this expectation that Washington and Daniels, to some extent, will crash back down to earth. But that's where the fear or the nerves or the anxieties should come from, in my opinion. And again, I think that they have those. Understandably, you can tell me right now that the Eagles have a better roster than the Commanders, and I will agree with you. Top to bottom, I don't even think it's that close. Philly's roster, decidedly better than Washington's. But the Commanders have a distinct advantage at quarterback based on how the two guys are playing. And I don't think that's that close right now.
No.
Daniels is playing at an A-plus level. Hurts is playing the quarterback position right now, probably at a C-minus level. Now, if the two of them equal out this weekend, okay, now the Eagles win the football game. You need Jaden Daniels to be better. It's almost like a relay where three of the four swimmers, the first, second, and third legs were even, but the fourth leg, I'm better. Well, in this case, you're the Eagles, and the first three legs of your relay pummel my first three legs. But I got Michael Phelps going.
Yeah, forth. I got the old torpedo back there.
Katie Ledecky's waiting, and you better have a 4 second head start when she jumps in the water.
That's a good comp.
And to me, that's what this whole thing is. Like, I go in knowing Katie Ledecky's lap's going to be 5 seconds better than your last person's lap. You better have that 6 second lead everywhere else on the field. If I'm an Eagles fan, that's what I'm thinking. The other game, though, in the AFC Championship game, I do wonder, is anybody rooting for the Chiefs in history in a three-peat? Because to me, it's just so easy to look at that matchup, to look at the Buffalo Bills, that great fan base, a team that has never won, to look at Josh Allen feeling like it's his time now after getting by Lamar, getting by Baltimore, one more shot at the guy that doesn't lose Mahomes. It's not David versus Goliath, it's Goliath versus Goliath, but it's the Goliath that always seems to win. I can't imagine anybody neutral rooting for Kansas City, but I also know there are people out there that just enjoy greatness. We've never had a three-peat. And Mahomes is very likable. Reed is very likable. I think Kelce is a cool enough, like, have a beer with him, hang out factor kind of vibe guy. I don't dislike the Chiefs. Their fan base is starting to get more irritating because they won't acknowledge that the team gets a lot of beneficial calls, but I digress. I don't know. What do you think? What percent of people outside of the two fan bases are rooting for history and a three-peat?
I think it's a small percentage. Like, I don't want to say single digits, but sub 20. I don't think the nation wants Kansas City. I could be wrong about that. Because sometimes a dynasty, people are into it. Like, I think of the Bulls dynasty, the multiple three-peats. I think of the Golden State Warriors, where people weren't bored with that. I think they're rooting for the Warriors over LeBron and the Cavaliers, for example.
They were, but that was a LeBron thing.
Yeah.
Would they have been rooting for the Warriors over a fun Western Conference team in the final?
Don't know.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so...
Like, a team that hadn't broken through. Like, Weber's Kings.
Kings, yeah.
People wanted them to beat the Lakers instead of another Lakers title.
Yeah, so this dynasty, to your point, is remarkable and excellent and amazing. What they're doing, what they've already done, is absurd. I don't have the animus that a lot of people do, but I'm also not rooting for them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not sitting there going, oh, I hope they do it, which is strange, because I want Mahomes to be at the top of a lot more lists.
I would root for them over the Eagles. That's an NFC East thing, probably,
yep.
If we're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only game I could root for them in the rest of the way. Let's party like it's 91. I want Bills Commanders, obviously. Is anybody out there rooting for the Chiefs to three-peat if Washington's not involved in the Super Bowl? Like, in other words, do you want Kansas City to beat Buffalo and have a shot to go back? Or are you all in on the Bills trying to win their first if the Commanders aren't a factor here? 800-636-1067. Plus, let's take a dive into some of the storylines for Commanders-Eagles next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We will be at Caddy's in Bethesda for a live show from 2 to 6:30 tomorrow ahead of the NFC Championship game. Got Ted Wynn of The Athletic, who's been breaking down the film on Philly's defense. We'll talk to him coming up in about a half hour. Looking forward to previewing the matchup with him. But let's go through some storylines that stand out. We can go back and forth here, things that we'll be tracking and monitoring in the NFC title game.
Sam Cosmi's replacement. How are they doing it? What are they doing? How do they handle Jalen Carter by extension, right? Are we just simply subbing in Trent Scott? Or I thought handled himself pretty well. Do you move Andrew Wilding inside? Let Cornelius Lucas play? Is it a combo therein? what's going to happen to the right guard spot, which was very solid and now isn't?
Dan Quinn said yesterday they're going to play their five best linemen. To me, that means Cornelius Lucas at tackle and Wiley inside at guard, not Trent Scott.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll see. I think they went with Scott in the situation because it's different what you're going to do in-game with who's up and who isn't and what kind of practice week you had. But now that you've got time to prep, if the plan really is their best five, then maybe they go with Lucas at tackle, who's played a lot of tackle this year. So that'll be curious to see. Will the kicking game become a factor? Now, Zane Gonzalez, to his credit, has mostly delivered when they've needed him to here down the stretch. It has not always been comforting. It certainly hasn't made me more confident moving forward. He did miss a kick against the Detroit Lions, so he was 1-for-2 from 40 to 49 in that game and 1-for-2 total. That was his only miss, though, dating all the way back to the blowout win of the Titans back in early December. I think that both teams go into this game with a bit of a kicking uncertainty, though, because Jake Elliott, as good as he was in the snow game, mostly on chip shots for the Eagles, has had a really down season. He missed 8 kicks this year. Remember when Washington was in Philly, he missed multiple field goals and completely changed the complexion of that game. He missed a kick from 40 to 49. He missed another kick from 50. In fact, at that time, he hadn't made a single kick all year from outside of 50 yards. He ended up being 1-for-7.
Did he miss an extra point that game as well?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He did. And it's not like down the stretch he was perfect. He missed a chip shot against the Giants with a couple of weeks to go in the season. He has continually been a question mark as a guy who's been a Pro Bowler and won a Super Bowl in the past and been very reliable. So I don't think either team feels great. I was joking with someone via text the other day, and I said, has a team ever changed out kickers before the NFC Championship game? Because both teams are probably looking at the waiver wire going, how sure are we? At least Elliott's got the track record, kind of like a Justin Tucker, where you're able to wait through it a little bit. But he missed 3 kicks of around extra point distance this year from the mid-30s in yards. 3.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how they possibly could feel comfortable. And then beyond that, he's 1-for-7, as I mentioned, from beyond 50. So whereas in the last few weeks I felt like Washington was at a huge disadvantage in the kicking game, I don't think that's the case at all. I think both teams are probably going to be crossing their fingers when they're lining up for field goals.
So everybody's going to be focused on Saquon Barkley because he ran for 2,000 yards, and if you're an opponent, you're giving up 100-plus, pretty much. Unless you're the Rams, then it's 200-plus, but I digress. To me, the storyline I'm focusing on is A.J. Brown, Marshawn Lattimore. Is it a travel situation? Is it one side or the other? Because Devontae Smith, opposite him, is a terrifying receiver in his own right in terms of big plays and route running and hands and the like. But A.J. Brown, fresh off an 8-for-97 and a touchdown, plus a few huge pass interferences drawn, a couple that may or may not have been deserved. I don't care. Fact is, he was winning that matchup against Lattimore. This is the revenge game or the 2.0 version of that with hopefully an improved Lattimore since coming off the shelf. So that is a massive sort of underlying thing here in this game. If Lattimore can hold his own, it's a very different defensive effort against Philly.
That's a good one. Why is the Eagles' passing game so broken? And what is going on with Jalen Hurts? And that's not just a last 2 weeks point. That's a most of this season point. Threw for 108 yards in a win against the Panthers, 118 yards in a win against the Ravens, 114 yards in a win against the Giants this year when he completed 10 passes. I understand. They won a lot of these games because they ran the ball all over their opponent. They didn't need him to do a whole lot. That is true, and it is also true that he just has not been anywhere near the same player as a passer as he was when he was exceptional when they went to the Super Bowl a few years ago, and he outperformed Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl game. On the season, sub 3,000 passing yards and sub 20 touchdown passes. Now, again, you're going to have lower numbers when you have a running back go for 2K. I understand that. But there is a difference between that and 13 of 21 for a buck 31 against the Packers when he didn't play that well. You guys watched the Washington game in Philly like I did. He finished 18 of 28 for a little over 200 yards. I thought the first half of that game, he stunk. Like, what is going on? They have too many weapons. They have too good a line. Their receivers are too talented. And frankly, he's too good. So that's a storyline for me. Is he hurt? Is he just not right? Why can't they throw the football more effectively? I'm not saying you should be throwing for 303 every week, but when you throw it, you should be more efficient than they mostly have been.
Terry McLaurin against Philadelphia. Game number two, it wasn't an unbelievable day, but 5 for 60, pretty pivotal stuff. The first game, frankly, was the start of the discussion, right or wrong, whatever you want to call it. I still think it was correct, and then adjustments were made, but I digress, of the Cliff. The frustration that was evident for so many years with Scott Turner and everybody therein was, if your offense stinks and you can't get the football to your best player, then you're doing it wrong. If you score 50, I don't care who has what. When you score 45 points, Terry McLaurin's totals are no longer relevant. But when you punt a bunch, when you can't get first downs, everyone's going to look and see, hey, your best option had one target in the second half and went 1 for 10 in a huge divisional game at Philadelphia. Second game, again, wasn't unbelievable, but how's Quinyon Mitchell's health? How is Slay's health? How do they match up therein? Are you moving Terry McLaurin around to make sure that your best players get touches? That's a nice little subplot.
How about Mikey Sanristil against Devontae Smith? You were just talking about the Lattimore-A.J. Brown matchup. That's your grab your popcorn, good on good, one against one, high-paid corner, high-paid wide receiver, couple guys that have early career Hall of Fame-type credentials, right? I think maybe the more important matchup in this game, this time, for this one little four-quarter ditty that we're going to have, is Sanristil and Devontae Smith, the number twos on the other side of the field, perhaps. Because I might help out Lattimore. I probably have to after what I saw A.J. Brown do to him last time. Mikey's coming off two picks, best game of his career, doubling his season interception total in his rookie year. If he's playing a lot of man or he's out on an island with Smith, who's former first-round pick, top half the first round in his own right, that becomes a really significant matchup that I can't afford to get toasted in. And by the way, Sanders still against the Lions, man. What a performance.
Was that pretty good?
When you draft national champions...
Play all his games in Michigan, please.
...who elevate their game on the big stages, I guess you can expect them to do it one more time in the league. What matchup are you guys keying in on? What storylines are you monitoring? That's the question. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Today at 5 o'clock. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. The question at hand, what storyline are you locking in on for this Commanders-Eagles NFC Championship game?
Biggest thing to me where this game's going to be won or lost is what happens on, and this is so cliche, this feels very like 1980s football guy, but because of the injury to Sam Cosmi and because Jalen Carter is such a menace and that defensive front's so good for Philadelphia, my biggest thing is right guard / Jalen Carter. If Washington's offense is still a strength, they got a great shot to win this game. If he negates that, then you're not going toe-to-toe with Saquon Barkley and company, and the season's over.
Yeah,
that's where it is to me.
You mentioned Barkley. My number one is probably how do they go about trying to stop him. He ran for 146 the first time, 150 the second time, 2 touchdowns in each of the 2 games. I would also say that Hurts' health is just massive, and I'm obsessed with that storyline. Is he right? Isn't he? Will we find that out before kickoff? Is he going to look normal? How many shots of whatever are they going to be able to give him if that's what he wants to do to feel better than he did against the Rams in that game when he just wasn't very good or mobile, in my opinion, moving around after his early touchdown, and then he got hurt midway through that game. We've not talked at all about Daniels, and I just think that's you and I trying to avoid the obvious and not be lazy, but it goes without saying that the biggest story of this game is the rookie quarterback, the rookie sensation, and if he can do it one more time. As I like to say, can he put his cape on one last time and get them over the hump and into the Super Bowl? Can he fly around and come out of the phone booth? And the question, I guess, being for Jaden Daniels, is he going to be able to do what no rookie's ever done before, which is guide his team through the playoffs? And in this case, he'd have beaten a 3 seed, a 1 seed, and a 2 seed in succession. Let's go to Shane, who's in D.C., on Grant and Danny. What's up, Shane?
What's up, Commander? What's up, Grant? How y'all doing today?
Pretty good, buddy.
Bro.
The storyline is the trenches, and that's what I know it's, you know, cliche, but Bobby, you got to play gap control. It's the line. You got to stop the run and let Hurts beat you. You can't have Barkley go out there and rush for $150, you lose big time. And Lattimore's got to look. So far, this trade ain't looking out too damn good for us right now. I mean, I know it's the rust, but man, he got ate up against Tampa. I mean, he truly got anything they wanted, they got. So Lattimore's got to play like the old Lattimore, if you will. Defense has got to step up. Daniels is going to do his thing, and we got to run the football. It's going to be about field position. Wade's going to be a huge factor in this as the special teams punting. Field position wins this football game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I do think the Commanders win 24-15 type of game. But I think we finally run the football.
Appreciate you, dude.
I'll be shocked if it's a low-scoring game.
Because I don't think Washington wins a low-scoring game. Again, divisional stuff, third time you're playing a team, it could be weird. But
I don't see a path to that. To me, and we'll talk about this later, the Eagles' defense, which is number one in the league, it's good, but it's a little overrated in my opinion. And we'll debate this in the show, I'm sure. But they gave up 40 to Washington the last time these two teams played, basically. It was 36-33, combined 69 points scored. I just don't see these two teams locking horns and playing a 20-14 game. But to your point, if that happens, I don't think it bodes well for Washington.
No, now Washington has kind of thread this needle or walk the tightrope, whatever phrase you want to use, where they've possessed the football without being able to run it very effectively. They've kept their offense on the field by converting. So maybe that's kind of the path to it, but I think that's tough to do against this team.
That's fair. Both teams are going to try to take the air out of the football, if you want to say that. Like, neither team wants the other one to have the ball. In Washington's case, just to protect its own defense. In the Eagles' case, just to keep Jaden Daniels on the sideline. Let's go to Bird, who's in the city. What's up?
Hey, man. I want to tell you guys, I'm not really I think the storyline is Joe Witt. We need to see if Joe Witt is going to be a Dan Quinn, if he's going to be a Bill Belichick, if he's going to be able to coach. Because it's easy to name all of these Lattimore against Brown and Steen and all this kind of – it's not about that. It's about out-coaching the other team. And people keep talking about Lattimore matched up against Brown. That shouldn't be what it is. It should be Lattimore – On the number two, we should be double teaming Brown. That's what Belichick did for years, even when they had Revis in them.
That's a good point.
Right? This is going to come down to coaching, not mano a mano. This is not boxing.
But I wonder, Bird, to your point on the coaching element, should he be trying to take away Barkley and not Brown? Like, maybe you don't double because you're stacking up the box.
Check it out. Now here's the thing: you guys might laugh at me. If Barkley runs for 150 yards. Doesn't have any big runs, that means we've made them go little by little, inch by inch down the field with the clock running, which leads to a low-scoring game and an opportunity where we have the ball at the last minute. If they want to run for 3 yards, 2 yards, 7 yards, 6 yards without any big chunks and let the clock run and risk the game being close with us getting the ball back, that's a problem.
So I actually love that take.
Yeah, it's smart.
I just don't think you get to $150 without big runs. That's not how Barkley's done it all year. I went through it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
When he's run for $150 or more,
there's always an explosive 60, in there.
70, yeah. 70, 70, 60, 58, 52. Against Washington, he had a 40-some-yard touchdown run when he wore them down in the fourth quarter, and then he had a 70-yard touchdown run here. He's a home run hitter. He's not really a singles hitter. So, yeah, if I could sign up for that, I'll give him a 149 on 27 carries and nothing longer than 15 or whatever, I'll sign up sight unseen. 100% agree with you. Because I'll take my chances with that over the explosives in the passing game. I don't know if the Eagles are even capable of the explosives in the passing game right now based on what we've seen.
Yeah, and so the thing you wonder is they haven't been able to do it against the Rams, whose defense is playing really well. Green Bay's pretty solid defensively, right? They sort of make you earn it going all the way down. Is Washington's defense good enough to be able to say, Or to be able to, I don't know how to say this. Are they a high enough threshold where Philly's offense and basically the passing game can't get right? Are they licking their chops going, I can't wait to play against that secondary? Or is it, that's not who we are right now. We'll do some RPO, we'll do a couple quick things, but we'll get back to handing it to Barkley. I don't know the answer.
Ted Wynn of The Athletic. Let's dive into some of the X's and the O's and talk to him about why the Eagles' passing game has been so broken and their defense as well. We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.